This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Yes, Saturday suckage on Monday. But it feels like a Saturday. You know, it's a holiday, day off, you're doing nothing. We suck so you don't have to. Welcome in. We will be doing this until, you know what, they've now determined, not only were we going to do it till the 4th of July, Mark, but now Spilkes let me know that for every mistake we've made, and I think we made 7 in the first hour, we have to add another month. So we'll be into 2022 before this radio marathon is over. We've screwed
all
up.
All I would say to that is if that is what Mitch Rosen is saying, he's hurting himself as much as he is hurting us when he does that, because then we're just on more and there's more mistakes. You're hurting yourself as you're. And by the way, I would like to point out on the text line, 63, I was going to give you my number, 312, it's going to happen. Mike Rankin, be ready. 312-644-6767. So we've come a long way from the "Oh, Billy" reference that Jason Benetti made on the, and I wondered if he was doing a Dumb and Dumber thing. He may have been, but first of all, it wasn't Dumb and Dumber. It wasn't Liar Liar. It was Cable Guy that I'm quoting, right? But I'm just a simpleton because in actuality, and I never realized this, and now multiple texters have said it, so now it must be true. You know, as one texter said, "You are all wrong. The Oh Billy reference is originally from Midnight Express, 1978 girlfriend visit in Turkish prison scene." And another guy from the 773 says something similar. So I'm assuming that that is accurate, and it's like not knowing a band cover. Oh, I thought that that was their song. I didn't realize that was a cover tune. Okay, so there's many layers to it,
what
and
are you doing?
I stand.
Stop it.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it, stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh, Billy. See, that's my only reference.
Right.
That's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, Midnight Express. It was the famous scene where she pressed her naked breast against the window as the window separates them. So that's it.
All right. I'm Cable Guy. You're Midnight Express. Fine. That's fine. Are you a Midnight Express guy or are you a Cable Guy?
No, I'm a Major League guy. That's it. That's where we
are. Shut up, Dorn.
Yeah, we need that, Vaughn. Because Andrew Vaughn's going to be really good. We need to co-opt that.
We win one today, that's two in a row.
Right, but we need Vaughn. We need Lou Brown saying, Vaughn.
Hey, Vaughn was going to. He was going to the, I think it was the day that, yeah, it was the day of the rainout. Andrew Vaughn had been penciled in. Actually, he was penned in. He was calligraphied in to be the number three hitter because they had planned to give Yoan Moncada the day off, which didn't happen because the game was banged.
Yeah.
So we never saw it. But that was interesting. I was like, wow, moving on up for Andrew Vaughn. He was going to be the number three hitter.
Vaughn. Okay, we were discussing the gauntlet that the Cubs are running, which I believe comes at a fortuitous time for Jed Hoyer. Because he is stuck in this horrible purgatory of being paid by Tom Ricketts and paid to essentially figure out how to destroy his embraceable championship pieces and give his team no chance. It started with Yu Darvish. So he's stuck between Tom Ricketts and his biblical losses, even if it's just non-biblical lack of income. But I don't think, unless Tom Ricketts is at the Addison exit of the Kennedy and he's standing there with a tin cup, I really don't think anything's biblical at this point. But they begin a stretch of 17 games in a row against teams that would be in the playoffs now. Padres, Cardinals, Mets, Giants. When I say the Mets, you can't laugh because the Mets are atop the NL East, which appeared to be a joke of a division, but the Mets are playing 556 baseball, a couple percentage, hundredths of a percentage point behind the Cubs. So you have San Diego, here they come, and they're the best team in the National League. You have the St. Louis Cardinals, they are in the, and we're looking at the division leaders, Padres, Cardinals, Mets, in that order. Your two wildcard teams are both from the NL West. The Giants are 33 and 20. They're two games up on the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the second wildcard team. The Cubs are a game and a half behind the Dodgers, and they'll be playing the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. I know the Diva, who just celebrated her 33rd birthday, is going to find a way to get tickets to one of the Cubs Dodger games in Dodger Stadium next month.
Love the Diva.
Yes. So she is watching these Cubs, and now they're playing in June. This has to be exactly what Jed Hoyer needs and exactly what Tom Ricketts. Well, I don't know. I don't really care about Tom Ricketts because I don't know that he's working for Cub fans at this point. Maybe he's not obligated to. Maybe he's got his own idea of how he's working for Cub fans. But Jed Hoyer is caught in this purgatory, and this 17-game stretch will decide something. Because if you look at, remember we ran down the lineup before, what the Cubs, between because of the injured list, their lineup yesterday, Peterson, Bryant, Baez, Happ, and Contreras. Three-fifths of that is up for trade. Bryant, Baez, Contreras. Or they've been rumored, or they've been talked about, or they would bring back the most. Right? Aren't those the three likely trade candidates?
Yep.
So, what would you expect? This is a team that's a half a game behind Los Cardinales, but 1.5 games out of the wild card. And what do you expect? What would happen?
So I don't think that anything that has occurred for the Cubs this year, as good as it's been, and there's been a lot of good lately. The 6-game winning streak was terrific. They did sweep the Dodgers this year. They did take 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals. They should have swept the Reds, but they didn't sweep the Reds. And here they are, like you said, 29-23, half game back, because they have been playing well despite the injuries, which every team in baseball is saying right now. Our team is okay despite the injuries. I don't think that anything has happened, though, this year that has backed or will have backed Jed Hoyer off of what he believes he needs to do for this team. And that's a couple of things. That is to change the overall core philosophy of this team from a team that is based on hitting the ball over the wall to getting more guys that are contact guys. Some of those guys are not going to be the future. Eric Sogard is not the future of the Chicago Cubs, nor is Matt Duffy. Well, Nico Horner, I think, is a part of the future. So I don't think that unless something special happens, and it's been good, but not special. And unless they get to like that 5 or 6 game lead and they're undeniable, then I believe that Jed Hoyer will probably still be comfortable and at least attempting to trade one of those biggins before the trade deadline. And guess what? I mean, you've completely lost control of Chris Bryant, right? I mean, it's Chris Bryant has all power all power, assuming he stays healthy. I think that's really all it comes down to, because I have no reason to think that he's going to fall back into some of his old bad batting slumps and things like that. If he stays healthy, this guy has all the power and can do what he wants. And you know, Chris, what is it that you would like? Where do you want to play? And you get to go there and do your thing. So I still think that they're in a situation where, yeah, you do look at Craig Kimbrell and say, oh, my God, what could I get for that guy? Chris Bryant, what could I get for that guy? Baez, Contreras, all of that. You don't have to destroy what you have. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to – it's not going to be this lineup where every day it's Rafael Ortega and Patrick Wisdom and Eric Sogard and Nick Martini. Like, I'm not saying that. But something dramatic should probably still happen to help you now and in the future.
Wait, first of all, yeah, it would be a lineup of those. You trade Bryant, then what are you going to do? You're not trading Bryant for anybody good. You're like the Darvish trade.
But
Jed Hoyer
brought
back a bunch of guys you got to take to Dairy Queen after a game.
No, you're right. And I should have added that caveat in. You can't get that. Like the high school players that they got back in the Yu Darvish salary dump, it can't be that. There must be some value. And I realize that that's pretty tricky in this day and age. There's not a lot of Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman happening, or Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease for Jose Quintana happening. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. And you can't – like, if you can't – I'm not saying, like, just get rid of him to get rid of him. I am not saying that. Get something to help you. Maybe it's not an over-the-top type of move, but something to change. And I'm not talking about, well, you got to do so, you got to get something from. I'm talking about getting the Cubs back to where they were for a few years when it was Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, and that's a team that can compete for not just the damn division, but winning playoff series and hopefully winning another World Series. And I think if they do it right, they don't have to bottom out, certainly don't have to go back to the losing 100 games days, but you could get yourself back up to a point where you are competing every year and you are talked about like we are talking about the National League West, where you have teams like the Dodgers, your Doyers, and the Padres, and even the San Francisco Giants, who are back, baby.
Doyers.
Doyers. So, you like saying that, I know.
So I do. And they even have on their menu, they have Doyer dogs, D-O-Y-E-R. You can get Doyer dogs. It's spelled yes, I'm serious. It's spelled Doyers, D-O-Y-E-R-S, Doyer dogs.
I never noticed that.
So let's play this out then, because I think it's so counterproductive. Whatever, I don't understand business, but I do see the Cubs version of a white flag trade coming, the great possibility, where they're going to be, I don't know if they're going to be, I expect them to come out of the 17-game stretch just close enough. They're really good against teams 500 or better. Here's the interesting thing about the six teams, the Cubs on up in the wild card race. The Cubs and the Padres are the only two teams of those six with winning records against teams 500 or better. So, you're looking at the Cubs facing all these teams that would be in the playoffs, all above 500, and the Cubs having a little better than a coin flip chance to win every game. Now, if they come out of this at 500, you know, a game under, a game over, whatever it is, the 17 games, they're 8-9, 9-8. They're a Bears team in these 17 games, let's figure. Then they're close enough to have a white flag trade, which would be, if they come out 500, I think Jed might be, it might be craziness. Then how do they do after that? You only hope they can play bad teams, but Jed knows they're playing bad teams. How do they stack up? They're a 500 team. They were largely a 500 team last year. They had a great start, and then they were just worthless. I'm not worthless, but they certainly weren't living up to that 13-3. They weren't going to be dominant even in a short season. This is longer. More bad things can happen. We've already seen it. So if they were to think of the ripple effect of a Cubs white flag trade, you know, their win, their W is white flag, so the blue flag trade, right?
Yeah.
You have we've seen as we were talking about last hour, the Cub fans, they show up even when they lose. Well, Tom Ricketts has the receipts to prove they don't. They did not. He sold his dad on the idea of, like, God, they lose every game and they still fill the ballpark. And that's when Joe Ricketts said, well, now you got my attention. But in those years where they were just horrible and rebuilding, they were down. They dropped a lot of attendance. All right. So you're creating, you got self-inflicted losses on top of whatever you call biblical losses. Plus, you now have a new network to support. You're part owners, you're the stars of the marquee network. How many subscriptions are you going to get when you deal Bryant and who knows who else? You're taking an MVP candidate, and the story will play out. This was the year that the Cubs jury-rigged the contract status of Chris Bryant. This was the seventh year, because seven's more than six. This was the year of control they wanted, and they got it. And now they may have to trade him for cheap as hell, because he's only going to be a rental, right? He's going to be a summer rental.
Of course,
that's it. You're getting two months out of him, 3 months out of him. So
yeah, man,
if you're Tom Ricketts and your team does this, how many subscriptions do you sell to Marquee? How many do you lose? Where's your ad revenue? Where's your income? Where are the wheelbarrows full of money that Crane Kenny bragged about? There's a ripple effect here.
It's such a great question, and I would throw that out to Cubs fans right now at 312-644-6767, and that is, what can you handle? I do believe that the mentality of Cubs fans has changed. Like, when Theo Epstein came in, while there were many fans who questioned what the plan was and allowing the team to lose 100 games and bottoming out and being awful, but I think that most people are like, okay, it's Theo damn Epstein. We're going to sit back and we're going to kind of watch and we're going to talk about all the great prospects that are moving through the system. And Cubs fans bought in and Cubs fans were rewarded. And now they're in, as you pointed out very well, the Cubs organization is kind of in a no man's land area, because guess what? The Cubs are 29-23 and a half game back of the St. Louis Cardinals, so they're very close to first place, which normally sounds great to Cubs fans. But I think that was the pre-2015 Cubs fan base, which didn't mind if it was just a winning the division and then we'll see what the hell happens after this. I think Cubs fans now would prefer to have a team that is like the Dodgers, that every year everybody is picking them to potentially be in the World Series. And you are right, man. Back when the Cubs were bottoming out, they were not filling the ballpark, and there were street value. Like, StubHub was selling Cubs tickets for $2 on the street. Yeah, I remember that. I totally do. I don't think Cubs fans could stomach going back to that, but if they blew it all up and they got rid of everybody and there's a bunch of no names, then I understand. Then I think you'd lose subscriptions. Then I think that maybe fans would be turned off and just out of principle maybe wouldn't go to Wrigley Field. But I think that this Cubs fan base, this era of Cubs fans, we always talk about the golden era of the Cubs players. This is the golden era of Cubs fans who have ditched the loser mentality of the one-hit wonders of 84 and 89 and 98 and 03 and all these teams that had, you know, success in the regular season, and then the next year they were god-awful. So now I think that Cubs fans are willing to be a little bit more patient and maybe even understanding if somebody like a fan favorite, a world champion, a former MVP, Chris Bryant, is traded. I might be wrong. I might be wrong, but I have a feeling that I'm right and that the mentality of Cubs fans has changed and that they could handle it without bottoming out. So if I'm wrong, please let me know. 312-644-6767.
I'll let you know you're wrong. There's no way. They shouldn't. They should be livid. You know, if Chris Bryant has to get traded, the Cubs need a new billionaire owner, because you watch what the Mets are doing and go, hey, there's their billionaire owner. They're paying Lindor, even though he sucks. They can't score for DeGrom. They're in first place. And it's a worse division. The Cubs have a better record, better winning percentage. And the idea of Cub fans being okay with trading Bryant, when this is the guy you drafted, you developed, you fought to keep the extra year, and then you're going to dump him. And a 217 texter says, hey, they're just, you know, might as well keep him. You get a compensatory pick. Well, that's only one guy who needs a juice box, as opposed to like the Darvish trade. You trade him for four guys who need juice boxes after games. This is this is what you're dealing with. And I think fans would be livid. I think they would just be so upset because this is not what they were promised, either directly or the subtext was, we're going to be here, we're going to do this right, we're going to keep it going. Sustained success. This wasn't part of the sustained success. And the Cubs players brought this on themselves. Part of this, you know what, I have a thought. We got to take a break. Let me, I'll bring this up to you the way you said Cub fans would understand. Let me see if you understand what I think the kind of gauntlet Jed Hoyer threw down to the Cub fans. We'll take a break. Okay. He's Mark Rohde. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're talking Cubs baseball. It's on Memorial Day, which is not Saturday, but it's still suckage. Thanks for joining us. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Give me Vaughn. You want Vaughn? I know he hadn't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
Yes! Mike Rankin. Give me Vaughn. We needed Lou Brown. Vaughn. Different Vaughn. Not the Wild thing, but the White Sox thing. All right, welcome and welcome back. We're discussing the Cubs and maybe trading Bryant, maybe Baez, maybe Wilson Contreras. And Scott from Davenport tweeted out an attendance graph, so we don't have to. And basically, even when they were crappy, they weren't really drawing, so Tom Ricketts wasn't right about that. But when as bad as they were drawing more fans than you would think a crappy team deserved to draw. And that was probably the subtext. That's probably what should have been said. But when they started, when Ricketts took over and started gutting the team and doing everything with, and Theo started doing it, their attendance was plummeting. You can see in this chart. And then it grew and grew and grew. And this year doesn't mean, we don't know what it means after last year's weird thing where there was no attendance. So they're back up to sort of where they might be competing, maybe not. We don't think this is a really good team, but they're better than a lot of teams, not good enough to win the World Series. Here's what I think. Jed Hoyer didn't say this, Mark. This is what I meant. This is what I went into last hour. Jed Hoyer didn't say this, but I kind of got the feeling it was this. You guys want to stay together, prove it. You open your mouths about it. The last couple years, we like these guys. We're here. We know this is our last dance. We know all it, blah, blah, blah. We heard all that. And then they just choked, failed, face planted when it mattered. They have been in a descent. They've been in a death spiral ever since they won the World Series. Always one level less. They made the playoffs last year, and then they still haven't won a series. They just kept devolving. And I think Jed Hoyer was, this is their last dance because we want them to prove it. And part of the subtext I read into it was with Tom Ricketts, we don't think they can. That's why we had to dump Darvish. We just don't think it's going anywhere. We don't want to be on the hook for the last 3 years of that contract when our hitters, the offense, the things we drafted, developed, traded for, the big deal made the difference, and these guys can't deliver when it matters.
I think that this little last dance act has quietly been going on for a few years now, though.
Yeah.
And the thing that you said, that Jed Hoyer said about, you know, Shea, prove it to me, and I'll... Theo Epstein did the same thing. Craig Kimbrell, right? That's what that was. It was, hey, oh, you guys show me you get, and it helped that Ben Zobrist had left to deal with his personal stuff, and that opened up, what, $9 million or whatever it was at the time? But I've heard this a lot from the Cubs since, say, 2017.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Guys,
Steve.
We have a line of callers, and I want to get to them because they're on this topic. If you guys want to take Kevin and Palatine first.
Multiple calls, Steve. What's going on? Oh, that's right. It's not Saturday.
That's a month's worth. If we have three calls, that's a month's worth. Kevin Palatine, welcome to Saturday Suckage on Monday.
Morning, guys. Thank God for Rosie. Grody, I like you, but this routine of after every Cubs game when you come on and they got to show you by winning 14, 15 in a row. Come on. That is – no. Well, first of all, no one needs to prove anything to you because the fact you want to trade Bryant, that is a loser's lament. That is a – you want more 14-year-old boys that we already traded for Darvish?
Moving right along. Well,
all right, I guess I'll address my part. Hold on.
Please go ahead, Brody. You need to defend yourself.
Look, I'll do my part there because he was coming at me strong. So and I do appreciate it. I said very clearly, you can't if you trade Chris Bryant, you can't get back what they got back for you, Darvish. He and I actually agree. Along those particular – now, as far as what I've been – and I have been saying it a lot, and I do appreciate him listening, that, yeah, I do need to be shown that the Cubs can win playoff series with the roster that they have, not just squeak in as a wild card or just barely win a bad division. I'd rather see a team that is good enough to win playoff games and win series. And again, if he's been listening to me a lot lately, I've gone through my little gauntlet of Cubs one-hit wonders years way too many times where they win a division, and that's good enough for Cubs fans. They suck in the postseason, and then the next year is a train wreck. So that's not what I want to see anymore.
The guys who are there, oh my God, we let's hold on. Look at that.
Yeah, we got more. We have more for you. We have Paul in Valparaiso.
Paulie.
Paul, welcome to the Score. Thanks for calling in on this Memorial Day.
Good morning, guys. A couple of quick points. I mean, I guess we talk about sustained success. I mean, pretty much they've made the playoffs every year, but one, they're in the hunt right now. And I think for once, the Chicago team actually said what they were going to do at the beginning of the year. Jed Hoyer and Ricketts both said it. Is they said they were going to thread the needle. So, Steve, you say that when they got bad and they bottomed out, the attendance went down and his dad said that the attendance would never go down or that was the business model. But in the same breath, you mentioned that there was no fans last year. There's limited capacity so far this year. And, yeah, maybe biblical proportions is being dramatic. But the guy spent all of his money to build up Wrigleyville, won a World Series for the Cubs, and listening to Steve Rosenblum, you would think this is the worst owner in history owners.
Well, he seems to. I think he betrayed the fans. I think he's betraying them now. You don't think so? You're happy to? You're going to keep the one World Series? That's it. We're good. I can die happy now because this sustained success does not mean making the playoffs. It does something. It do something in the playoffs. That's my version.
That's what Theo said. Theo said make the playoffs every year. And they've been right there. And then here, how do you know he's not going to go back to spending money once Marquee does get up and running, once they thread the needle and get the attendance back to full blast? It still is a business. And again, it's a very...
Why would you watch Marquee? Like if he's traded Darvish, which shows that he's got waving a white flag, if he trades Bryant, if he makes Jed Hoyer trade Bryant, why would you watch Marquee?
I don't think he's going to make them trade Bryant. I think they're going to play this out and keep going the way that they're going. You don't know that yet. That's my point. What if one of those guys from the Darvish trade is Tatis?
Okay, well, I'll see you in 5 years. I'll see you in 5 years.
You have a personal against the Ricketts. You cry and whine about the Ricketts all the time, and you're just dead wrong for what they've done for the community around Wrigley, what they've done for the Cubs. It's a personal thing with you. And I know you kind of that's your stick. You want to go against ownership and – you know, but the Ricketts are more personal for what they've actually done and accomplished. They didn't get the
I lauded them for what they did. I lauded them for what they did, for the way he came in and he went and got and hunted down Theo Epstein and he turned everything over to him to the point where he let Epstein tell Craig Kenny out of here, gave him the Heisman. I'm reporting just to you. I lauded him for that. That was he stopped being a fanboy and he became an owner, a businessman. He became a smart guy. You can keep buying all the rooftops you want. Sell some and keep some of your players. The baseball roster is the most important thing to fans. It should be. If it's not, if you just want to drink, go ahead, drink.
Thanks for the call. I think the last two calls have been pretty hot, man. I like it. I love it. And I realized that the previous caller to that said, I have a routine. And that caller said, do you have shtick? So yeah. Shtick and routine until 12:45 here this morning on
Steve,
the score.
Steve, didn't you Sorry, Grody. Did you talk about a story that you had at the Tribune literally last hour or maybe within the hour about that death threats that you received because of after day one? Yeah.
That was from a fan. After game one of the 1997 season when I said the Cubs were mathematically eliminated from playoff contention, and somebody called up and threatened me.
It's all about the brand, group. It's all about the brand.
And you know what? Hey. And they don't like being criticized. But whether I'm a fan with a platform, and I was, and I did, I get paid to have an opinion. So did the caller. He got paid to have an opinion.
Absolutely.
He thinks I'm biased against ownership. You know what? You do a good job. I got no problem with that. I don't think he may have thought Ricketts lived up to his promise. We had sustained success. We got to the playoffs every year but one. And I think the idea of one World Series, that let's go back to the 85 Bears, the one hit wonders, and still the only Super Bowl in team history. And whatever they do in the playoffs, however number of times they've gotten there, do you not think the McCaskies deserve criticism? They've had a longer list of failure than post-Super Bowl than the Ricketts have. But guess what? It still stands at one when all those guys were young enough that they were expected to win more. At least I expected this. It wasn't good enough. And I think this was a year that was put on the players, but it was kind of, I don't know. It was the anger was set off by Tom Ricketts, a billionaire's family, talking about biblical losses while owning all of Wrigleyville. And talk about being tone deaf. Really? If you have biblical losses, the baseball roster is the most important thing. Sell the rooftops. Guess what? You're trying to sell a TV network. What are you selling? Oh, we're getting rid of a guy who was runner-up in Cy Young. And we might trade the guy who was an MVP and is having an MVP year, the year that we jury-rigged the arbitration for, so we get the extra year. And this is the extra year. Now we might have to trade him or just play it out for one compensatory pick. By the way, you love Marquee. You won't be booing Marquee Network in a year. Really? What? This is bad business. This is stupid. But I want the best billionaire owner I can get. That's the way I look at it. And I don't think this is the best billionaire owner you can get or doing the best billionaire things. I don't know whatever process goes into it. And I can't say that they're wrong making the players prove it, because the players haven't shown it in the postseason. These guys who won the World Series, all your local heroes, all the guys who will be forever loved like the 85 Bears. But to be the 2016 Cubs, and that's the only team that did it, and those players only did it once, I think it's failure. All right. So I don't know if we're going to have any more breaking phone calls. I know we have to take a break. Mike Rankin keeps yelling in my ear as he tries to not lose.
I think there might be one more call after we take the break, and I know we got to.
Well,
we'll
see if we have a breaking phone call. Mike will let us know. We'll continue to discuss this. And at the top of the hour, talk some White Sox with Scott Merkin, the rolling White Sox, the Liam Hendricks' number two team in town, where they have to take four steps forward while the Cubs take one step. But that one step was Javi Baez creating a play for the ages. So you got some work to do, Liam. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde, Saturday Suckage on Monday. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You won't be booing about the Marquee Network in one yet.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think there's a real danger when you're negotiating. One data point from a negotiation comes out, and any negotiation, there's significant back and forth. There's dozens and dozens of conversations. And, I would just say that I've told Anthony over and over that I really want him here for a long time, and I've made that clear. And I've also articulated the Cubs' position to him very clearly, and I think he knows where we stand. And but the most important thing is that he knows that we want him back, and I certainly hope that we're able to work something out.
Yeah, the guy the Cubs are most likely to re-sign of their core is the guy who can't play because of a bad back and always misses games because of a bad back every year. He's the oldest of the bunch. That's Jed Hoyer talking about Rizzo. And meanwhile, there's Bryant and Baez and Contreras, and who's they're all trade pieces, and what are they going to do? And we're discussing why they should have to trade any of them. Pure and Matt text in to us at 312-644-6767. When did the Cubs become convinced this is suddenly a championship team? And other texters, Grody, why are you trashing my guy Nick Martini?
Hey, come on, that's not fair. I wasn't trashing Nick Martini. I want the best for Nick Martini. I think it was just a way of outlining for everybody the symbolic of the injuries for the Cubs that went in the fifth inning, and the Cubs have runners on first and second and nobody out, and there's Tyler Mahle dealing for the Reds, striking out Rafael Ortega, retiring Patrick Wisdom, and Eric Sogard. And if Sogard had gotten on, it would have been Nick Martini to the plate. So I think it is just to show you that for once, the injuries really hurt you yesterday in the fifth inning for the Chicago Cubs.
All right, guys, we got another caller. I'm waiting patiently. Appreciate it. I think you'll like this one. Mike in Oak Lawn.
Mike in Oak Lawn, breaking phone call to Saturday Suckage on Monday. Thanks for making the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. I'm just going to give you guys a brief synopsis of my experience with Marquee Network. They decided to launch the network.
Mike, this is not working out, Mike. We're going to have to let you go.
Yeah, you're going to have to get out of your submarine and call us back on something better than a tin cup. Sorry.
We're going to have a security guard bring you down to the lobby, and we're going to have to let you go, Mike.
Yeah, we have texters here who heard the last two callers, and we've made people angry. And 469 texter, the weekday callers need to smoke a fatty, and they'll enjoy holiday suckage. Rookies, you know, that's 847. What they've done for community, LOL. Wrigleyville was fine without Ricketts gentrification. 773. I lived in Lakeview East for 6 years in the 90s. Great place. The Ricketts family ruined that area. It's like a suburban mall. Oh, I don't know. They put up a hotel. I don't think so. 847. Callers don't know this is the WB Club. They aren't baked. They sound meth fueled.
Oh, man, that's good. That, now you're heading into Walter White territory.
Jesse!
That's it. Mr. White! Hey, I will say that those were a couple of... I like that we had the Kevin and Palatine and Paul and Valparaiso, one challenging me, one challenging you, so that was fun. I have to ask you this, though. Somebody had said to me via text... after I almost gave my personal phone number accidentally on the radio, which is a 630 hook because I grew up in the Western Burbs and now I live in the city and all of that. But the texter wrote back, huh, of course Grody's from the 630. And I'm not even mad. Like, I'm genuinely curious. What does that mean? What is the reputation of the 630? Like, we've heard of reputations of different area codes on this radio station, but seriously, like, what is... because sometimes you don't know because I'm from there, so maybe I'm blind to it. What's the reputation of the 630? Steve, do you have any idea?
I do not know that there would probably that there is one. I'm sure there are a variety of variety
okay.
of opinions. I don't know what it meant. I saw that
okay.
too. I wasn't sure what that meant.
Right.
I know the 815 generally goes to the Wake and Bake Club. That's just
yes.
That's just us.
Right.
That's what the 815, 815 does, is that it harvests the bake part of the Wake and Bake Club. And we've
that. No doubt. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, what's the reputation of the 630? And I want to know. I ain't mad at you. I'm really curious. Like, so 630. Yeah. It's Grody and this 630 shtick, Peoria Matt.
That's it. So speaking of the 815, we have an 815 texters. I don't know what it is that Cub fans in particular don't understand, and that baseball is a business, all caps. And ownership and the front office have to do what's best for business in the future and not just trying to waste a year of payroll and talent either. Like, why is that hard to understand? I understand it. I don't like it. I just think I want a better billionaire. I want owners who are more committed. I want more players brought in here. I just don't think that's the way. I don't want to see my team acting that way. You can't open hotels and start buying rooftops like they're Monopoly hotels and tell me you're competing when I see the roster is losing players that are far more valuable to me, like Chris Bryant, far more valuable to me than a rooftop is. I'm sorry. I want to see players, competing players. I want to see players added to this roster. And meanwhile, the first thing you did was deal the Cy Young runner-up and a guy with a 1.6 WAR this year.
It does come back to that. It get like at the end of every add-on subtract argument, like that, it's like palm to the forehead, right?
Yep,
oh
yeah.
God, the Darvish thing, like that, because it just, there's so many different layers to that. And if he was still here, what it would mean for a couple things, like they'd probably be in a better position right now. And if they weren't, then you'd have that extremely valuable starting pitcher that you could trade within the season for something other than an average starting pitcher and a bunch of minor leaguers nobody knows.
All right, we're going to change teams, change subjects. We're going to take a break here on Saturday Suckage for Monday. We're going to talk about the first place White Sox heading in to play the evil Cleveland team with a nickname to be determined, coming off a great performance by Giolito. Whoa, 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 whoa. And home run pimping Billy Hamilton. No, he says he can't pimp home runs. How many does he need to hit before he can pimp home runs, Mark?
Who? Let's talk about Tim Anna?
No, Billy Hamilton says he's
oh,
not.
Oh, sorry. I was like, I thought you were going to break.
Off. I'm going to break mode. We'll ask Merck. Scott Merck at MLB.com. How many home runs does Billy Hamilton have to hit before he can pimp them? And would Tony La Russa tell the other team to throw at Billy Hamilton the way he told them to throw at your mean Mercedes? We'll find out all that next.
Good.
Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Say my name.
670 The Score, where Chicago's head coaches and managers come to talk.
Matt Nagy.
Whoever makes the Bears the best team, that's what we're going to go with.
Tony La Russa.
It's all about 2021.
Cubs manager David Ross.
The goal is to win a World Series.
Billy Donovan, the head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
I think I learned a lot, went through a lot dealing with this pandemic.
Jeremy Colleton.
Didn't really expect much this year from the Blackhawks.
And to our credit, we found a way to win. That's part of management.
Keep listening for more from the leaders of Chicago's teams. Talking to the Score team. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
This segment is brought to you by the state of Illinois.
The vaccine to protect against COVID-19 is now available for all Illinoisans. Get yours for free at one of hundreds of locations across the state. Appointments fill up fast, so expect a brief wait. The end of the pandemic is in sight. Do your part. Find out more at coronavirus.illinois.gov.
For over 40 years, Climate Guard has manufactured over a million windows that stand up to Chicago's toughest weather. Through June, buy one, get one 50% off for installed windows. Financing available. Visit ShopStudio41.com to schedule an appointment today.
Place your legal sports bets at BetRivers.com, your new home for sports betting. Millions of betting options a year on the sports you love. We offer live in-game betting on major sporting events worldwide. Tons of bets available during games, from money lines, prop bets, and many more. Sign up now, and we'll match your first deposit up to $250. More bets, better odds, more action. Place your sports bets at BetRivers.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.